this week on the eBay for Business podcast.
And if you do social media marketing and you use keywords that you use in your eBay promoted listing, wow, people may search eBay for the keywords that you used. And then you've got a win-win because you promoted it for free. You got a promoted listing. You're selling. It's magical.
I'm Brian.
And I'm Griff. And this is the eBay for Business podcast, your weekly source for the information and inspiration you need to start, run, and grow a business on the world's most powerful marketplace. And this is episode 148. Brian, long time no here.
I was going to say the same thing, Griff. How was your sabbatical?
It was terrific. I gardened.
Just gardened?
Well, pretty much, yeah. It was all there is to do. If truth be told, I was bored. I'm so glad to be back.
I'm glad you're back, too. We missed you, and I think our listeners missed you. We had 2 weeks of silence.
Yeah, that was a surprise, I think.
I think that was the longest we've gone since we launched the podcast in August of 2018, isn't it?
I know. We've gone for weeks, like at the holidays and last summer, but...
Never two.
Yeah, 2 weeks. Yeah. I guess I'm pushing the envelope. How long can I be out of the office?
No more than 4 weeks, clearly.
That's true. Well, if it happens again, we'll have more shows in the can, hopefully, so...
It's also kind of nice to have content that is close, even though we do record and all of that. It's nice to have it close.
You know, we didn't do the news for a while because we were pre-recording so far in advance, you know, a month in advance. Who knows what's going to be happening?
And we didn't want to guess at the news.
Yeah, well, I don't know. That'd be fun, wouldn't it? We think this will be the news.
We think this product will change.
Speaking of news, by the way, I know it's been pretty quiet for most of July. Do you have anything in the eBay news this week?
I do not. I know that there's some stuff that's been kicking around, but I don't think there's been anything announced recently.
No, I checked. I was looking everywhere. I couldn't find anything.
And we have a big event coming up in August. That's some news.
Yeah, and that's actually the lead-in on your next line.
If I only would read.
Well, if only.
I'm out of practice, so I need to get back to focusing on the script, I believe.
Don't focus too much.
No, I won't.
But it's always there to help.
I will kick in and say, we are excited about one thing that happens next month.
I wonder what that could be.
As if you don't know. Come on, Griff. It's almost time for eBay Open 2021.
Oh, of course. How could I have forgotten eBay Open? And it's all virtual this year again.
It is, but I'm excited for it. There's lots and lots of people who have signed up, and we can go back to real in-person eBay Open events next year, which I'm excited for as well.
Yeah, in fact, I heard from somebody the number of people that have registered, and it's close to how many people registered for San Jose eBay Live way back 16 years ago.
Wow. 2005? Was it 2005?
Yeah. So it's going to be a big event.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
And there's a full agenda for this year's 2.5 days of eBay Open.
2.5 days. What's on the agenda, Brian?
Well, we have starter and next level training sessions. So whether you're a beginner or advanced seller, learn from the experts how to grow your business and achieve even greater eBay success selling online.
Yeah. And there's going to be seller-led breakouts. And you're going to be able to hear from successful sellers on a range of selling and business topics that can help all of us bring our businesses to the next level.
And of course, executive keynotes. So get company updates, insights, and announcements straight from eBay leaders.
That's true. And those are always popular. Remember how the throngs used to all rush into the main event and there'd be thousands of people waiting for the execs to come out? I love that. And don't forget category breakouts, where you can get practical, relevant, and actionable information on categories that matter most for you.
And then also a perennial favorite, seller panels. So you can listen in on discussions between sellers and eBay employees on topics like marketing and running a successful eBay business.
Yeah, those have to be one of the most popular things, I think.
Always are.
And I've seen some of the lineups. It's going to be quite an interesting group of seller panels this year. And although we can't meet face-to-face this year, we'll still have lots of community networking, which is always really popular at any eBay event. And that's where you can connect with sellers like yourself based on your location, the category you sell in, and your experience. Maybe outside interest, who knows? People just like to connect.
They do. And not to leave out our favorite thing, there'll be special podcast recordings where you can join Griff for a special recording of the eBay for Business podcast featuring a seller and eBay employee panel.
And Brian, you know it's always a big hit at live events? The vendor floor. And this year, eBay Open 2021 will feature eBay booths, albeit virtually. But hey, you can still get your questions answered at eBay booths. Each one will be showcasing a vital selling topic like shipping or government relations or promoted listings and many, many other products and features and policies. So you can talk right with the teams and the people on those teams who have the answers to your questions and are willing and eager to listen to your suggestions.
And it's a great way to connect with eBay employees.
Yes.
So remember, eBay Open, it's coming up hit the first week of August. So eBay Open Online is free and open to all eBay sellers. And you can register now at ebay.com/open.
I think that's a smart thing to do. Brian, it's time to talk to our guest. I'll see you again in a few minutes when it's time to answer some questions.
Fantastic.
Our next guest's flagship book, eBay for Dummies, the go-to book for eBay beginners, is now in its 10th edition. She also has a series for seniors titled Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for Seniors, and that's for dummies, to help those of a, well, certain age with social media. And she has a new book coming out in time for the holidays this year. It's called Android Smartphones for Seniors for Dummies. She also hosts a weekly tech news podcast on iTunes, Google, iHeartRadio, and all the networks, and it's called Computer and Technology Radio. And with all of this, she's still a top-rated seller on eBay. Welcome to the podcast, social media marketing expert, eBay author, and technology analyst, Marcia Collier. Welcome, Marcia.
Thank you, Griff. We go way back to the beginning days.
eBay University.
That's right, the original. Those were the days. So much has changed since then, but it's almost the same.
Well,
social selling today is exactly what we used to do. Only it was closer.
Yeah, and it wasn't called social.
Right.
You travel all over the world, at least pre-pandemic, and you're conducting what's called high-level tech analysis. Can you elaborate on that?
Well, it's kind of interesting because this is my secret passion. I went to a farm in Switzerland where they had the cow collars with 5G sensors. Cow collars with 5G sensors, because normally in a dairy farm, what they do is the bulls, you know, they send the female to the bull at any time and they hormone them and the whole thing. But if they have these sensors on them, they can tell when the cow's natural hormones are ready for breeding. And then they send, and it's a natural process. There isn't any stress going on. The cow's happy. Everybody's happy. You know, 5G is something amazing, and it's very important for industrial delivery, logistics. I'm still really, and somebody's going to kill me for saying this, I just don't really care if I can download my phone better.
You don't?
I don't know.
You're happy with what you have?
I'm happy with what I have. My phone works. It's great.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
And one of my passions also in technology is the right to repair. And that lends to eBay too. You know, we have all these great old smartphones that work really well. And nobody is helping people repair and give the permission to repair. So my thing with technology, right now I'm talking about the decoupling of tech in the world. I mean, right now with the chips and not coming from country to country, I'm not going to get into the politics of it, but we're doing damage. We're not going to progress as quickly as we'd hope.
eBay for Business theme this week is all about social media marketing, and I was hoping we could call on your expertise in this field to help us understand what works and what doesn't work for a small business on eBay looking to utilize social as a marketing tool.
It's very important, and social is getting down to your product, knowing what you buy, knowing what you sell. And if you're on social media, rather than pitching a product all the time, people are not going to read everything. If someone's looking for a particular item in a search, maybe, but they're going to be searching eBay. What you need to do is content. There's a world of content on the internet. If you sell watches, there's a world of content on watches and retail. And share those things on social media and then tie it in at the end of your post on it, saying, I sell these kind of things in my eBay store. If you're on Twitter or Facebook and you have a page, use your eBay store as your address for your website. Don't be in competition with yourself.
I see so many sellers whose branding is so inconsistent that it sometimes you wonder what the connection is.
And that's the interesting thing. You know, my store, I didn't know what to name it because I sell so many random things. And I named it Marcia Collier's Fabulous Finds. And I'm kind of honored because there's a bunch of people now on eBay who have fabulous find stores.
Imitation is the greatest form of flattery.
Except when they sell your items cheaper.
Or steal your copyright, right? Or infringe on your intellectual property, right?
but we don't think about that. We go into the positive. And in the positive, it's don't worry about what other people are doing. Just check the prices. See what the prices are of everything. And be sure your prices are in line with the market. That is the most important thing. If it's not time to sell something, don't sell it. I bought a ton of block china Andy Warhol signature. This was years ago. And at the time, a bunch of other eBay sellers had found it and gotten it. And the price got driven down and driven down and driven down. And I said, wait a minute, this is block china. This is Andy Warhol estate signature on every piece. So I held two sets of four of the Campbell's Soup dinner set. I can sell one plate now for what I bought the entire set for. So, you know, timing your market is so important. But back to social. Make an interesting stream on your page. Give people something to read that isn't always selling. If it interests you and you know your customer, then you're sharing something they're going to want to read. And it's not always easy to find the stories, but there are plenty of ways that you can look on the internet and there are search things that will feed you stories on a certain topic. Google Alerts will do that. Google News. I'm sure there's similar things on Apple. If you put in a topic, you're going to get spoon-fed stories, news all the time. And it draws people to you. And who do people buy from? Who would people rather buy from? Somebody they know and like. Somebody who's been giving them stories, that says hello to them, that they have some interaction with. And even if they're not interacting with you, they know you're there and they know that you're expert on watches or purses or whatever.
And that's just assumed based on their content. So it's not like something you have to keep pushing. I can think of two people on Facebook, at least, who have built amazingly strong careers and businesses, and you never see them sell a product. But they do sell product, but you never see it. One of them is a woman who I've talked about before on the podcast. She's in Australia. Her name is Marion Grasby. She has something called Marion's Kitchen, and it's all about her particular brand of Asian fusion. Her videos make you so hungry, and it's all about the food. But she's also selling a line of products, but you'd be hard-pressed to see that in her content. And the other one is a guy who's becoming quite famous about Americana, specifically mid-century Americana. His name's Charles Phoenix. I don't know if you know Charles. He's a writer.
I don't know. I'm writing it down right now because mid-century, I don't need more stuff.
No, you don't have to buy things. But they're two interesting examples of people, I think, who have really nailed what you're talking about, Marcia. And that's making the content so compelling and so either funny or entertaining or informative or hopefully all three, that you want to follow them. And then after a while, you say, yeah, I think I'll buy his book. I noticed that there's this little blurb that he's selling a book. Yeah, this guy's great. I'm going to buy his book. As opposed to him just getting up and saying, hi, I'm Charles Phoenix. I know. And holding up a book. His big videos are all about mid-century cars, which are informative, but they're very funny too. What's another common mistake that you see well-intentioned businesses or sellers on eBay make when they're trying to utilize or leverage a social media platform?
Well, it's well-intentioned and they're always selling. They're always clicking the share button and sharing on all the social media platforms. It just boggles the mind to think that anybody would be interested in following a stream of that. For instance, my Twitter feed, I share tips on marketing and technology. All day. I read the stories at night and I put them in an app called Buffer, which I use and you can use it. They even have a free version.
We like free.
Free. It's our favorite four-letter word.
Today it is, yes. We may have had others in the past.
So I'll put them in the Buffer, but my pinned tweet to what you said, and the pinned tweet, for those who don't use Twitter, that means the one that stays at the top of your feed, will be my podcast for the week, or if I have a new book coming out, or if I feel it's time to remind people about that book, I'll put it up there. But the pinned tweet on my profile page will be something that I'm doing or selling, and it's written in a way that people know it's for them. It's not me selling you something. But that's one of the reasons why I started writing seniors books, because seniors really want to learn. You remember in the days of eBay University, how many older people we'd have at those events?
They were mostly older people.
And sometimes they'd come with a really young kid who was there to translate the technology.
Yeah.
Right?
I'd forgotten about those young kids, the translators, yeah.
Right. But this is true. And so that's why I started doing this for seniors. And I think it's great. Seniors want things. Young people want things, millennials, everybody wants things, and they go to eBay. And you have to make your product stand out. So by using social media, in the old days, we used to have much more active user boards on eBay, which have now been replaced by Twitter and Facebook. Facebook, not as much, but Twitter. Yes, absolutely. And talking about your items and your passions on there. And also, there are chats on Twitter. Like tonight, I host the customer service chat. We've been doing that for 10 years.
10 years?
But there's a... No. But we still get a group of people every Tuesday night. They know where we are. It's people who are into customer service, want to talk about customer. We have a topic every week. But there's ones about dogs. Now, if you were selling dog toys and dog items, I might become a regular on that group because the chats are fun and you can talk to people. You're in and out within an hour. You don't have, it's not a huge commitment. But there's housewares, there's gardening. You name the topic, it exists on Twitter. So by just being there, by being one of the gang, you're going to increase your sales. Like you said, this Charles Phoenix person, he's there. Yeah. Just show up.
Yeah.
90% is showing up, right?
Absolutely. I think it was Groucho Marx or Woody Allen or someone said 99% of success is just showing up.
When you don't want to.
Oh, dear. Marcia, a big part of your life has always been helping people. You're a natural born instructor and teacher and coach. What's one of the most common things that you hear from a seller, for example, that in the vein of, I just don't think I can do this, you know, the obstacles that sellers put up from themselves, and how do you counter that?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I don't consult with people, but I put my email in all my books. And if you read my book and you email me a question, I say, so what's the word in the upper right-hand corner on page 76? So I know you have the book.
Oh, I see.
And when they answer that, they can send me a bunch of eBay listings and I can go over them and I can tell them because you and I can just look at a title and know what's wrong there. Hard to find. Really? Is it hard to find? Oh, let me search eBay for hard to find stuff.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Yeah, I'm going to look for beautiful things.
Yeah, I have a seller who I made the mistake, never give unsolicited advice. And it was a seller who I buy from occasionally. He sells rugs. And every one of his titles begins with the word wonderful. And I said, maybe you think so, but who searches on wonderful? And he got very, don't tell me how to do my listings. And I backed off immediately. Saying,
yeah, because okay. He sold you something, didn't he?
Right, I suppose.
There was that.
It works. You open your wallet. So.
No, but I like to help people. And the biggest problem they have is following the hot new idea. There are so many mythical things about selling on eBay. And they are legitimately myths. There are basics. And if people would just get back to basics and promote something when it's appropriate, don't just promote something that's you may have one of and it's really not that unusual. Save your promotions. Every penny you spend is money that will either make you money or lose you money. So don't just throw the promotions there. People promote the strangest things. Consider every listing you do its own budget. Think about what you're going to pay. I run that over in my head every time I sell something. Okay, my wholesale was that. My shipping's going to be that. And I get it all together. And I know that this is what it cost me. And you have to do that. It's a business, but it's basics. And the basics don't change. They don't trend with time. You have the addition of social media for your marketing, which just makes everything easier because that's free. And if you do social media marketing and you use keywords that you use in your eBay promoted listing, wow, people may search eBay for the keywords that you used. And then you've got a win-win because you promoted it for free. You got a promoted listing. You're selling. It's magical. Like I told you before we started, sometimes, you know, I put together a really good listing and it sells within 12 hours. And I said, wait, did I charge too little for that? Well, what did I do?
You did everything right.
Yeah, exactly. And you do everything right. And then if you have multiples, then you just start raising the price.
Yeah. I'm a big price hound. I just deliberately want to be the cheapest of whatever I'm selling, even if it's just by a few dollars. You know, I'm a big fragrance collector and there's a current fragrance. It's been around. You can still buy it. That people are charging almost double what you can get on retail sites off of eBay. And they never sell. And I'm wondering, have they not figured this out?
You can't ask $250 for a cologne that you can buy on Lucky Scent for $130 plus shipping.
Yeah, eBay arbitrage only works if you're getting a really great deal on the product and you're giving the customer a good deal. I was in Shanghai. I'm always looking at the duty free to see what there is. And I come across this Helena Rubinstein mascara that was really popular in the 60s. It was called Long Lash. It was the hot ticket. I look at it on my phone. There was none of it on eBay. And I bought like 15 tubes. I don't even remember what it cost, but I was going to use them all myself. And then one day I realized you're not going to use these on yourself.
You're not going to live that long.
So I sold them on eBay at a nice profit, not an overly profit. But you have no idea how grateful the people were that they had found this product that you can't find anywhere. I found it in Shanghai and I found out it sells in Paris. And that's about it. So what will I do next time I go to Paris? I'm going to buy more of the mascara that I don't need, as if I need more eBay stuff to sell, because I know it's going to sell.
Except that now that you mentioned it on the podcast, somebody might beat you to that shop in Paris and buy out the whole stock.
Go do it, bravo, and look up my old listing and steal some of the copy, because it's such a unique and hard to find item. With my blessings, I'll help you with the listing.
Fantastic.
But really, Griff, eBay is something that builds a family business. It builds it together. And the talent, think about what your kid can do on TikTok with a particular item. If you have a great demonstrable item, do a TikTok video.
Yeah.
Make it a good one. Perhaps have somebody else do it and build your brand. TikTok, Instagram, it's all there for you and it's free to you.
And that's the key word. It's just knowing how to use it correctly and having guidance from someone like you helps. Marcia, thanks so much. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Griff. It's great to talk to you.
Marcia Collier is a technology analyst, social media marketing expert, and the author of the eBay for Dummies series, now in its 10th edition. And we'll put all the links up to her book and her different websites in the transcript for this episode, episode 148.
You got questions?
We got answers.
It's been nearly a month since we answered any questions. In fact, exactly a month. So are we backlogged, Griff?
We're backlogged a little bit. We got a lot of questions sent in by email, and I'm still sorting through them. But we have a few off the top we can answer today.
Great. So what's our first question?
Well, Brian, our first question was emailed to podcast@ebay.com by eBay seller Gordon, who writes, "Hi, Griff. I have a question about Send Offer. I have over 300 listings that have watchers, but I can usually only send offers to a few a day that eBay seems to select. How can I send offers to all my watch listings to hopefully sell my items faster? Thanks. Signed, Gordon."
We've definitely not had that question yet on the podcast.
Yeah, I was thinking about it. That's true. I don't think we have. Do you know the answer, Brian?
Well, yes, I do, because you forwarded me this question earlier, and I looked it up.
Ooh, in the interest of full transparency, I see. So what is the answer?
Well, Gordon, when you send a seller-initiated offer, or SIO for the acronym inclined, your offer is sent to interested buyers who satisfy a number of conditions, including they haven't received an offer from you for the same listing previously, they haven't purchased the same item from you previously, they're watching your item, they've had the item in the shopping cart for a period of time, they viewed your listing multiple times, they're a buyer in good standing on eBay. So it sounds to me like you've already sent an offer on some of the 300 listings, and that is why you're not able to send new offers for those items.
Okay, that makes sense, Brian. Thanks for doing all that research, but I still have a question. Let's say a seller has X number of watchers on one of his listings. So he sends an SIO, for the acronym inclined, to those watchers, and the listing is now not eligible for another SIO. What happens if the watch count increases? That is, what happens if one or more new watchers join the list, or a new buyer has viewed the item multiple times? Can the seller now send out a seller-initiated offer or SIO for that listing? And if so, does it only go to the new watchers?
Well, Griff, the good news is a seller can send an SIO to those new buyers, but the seller can only send a new SIO to new interested buyers once the existing sent SIOs expires in 48 hours.
Ah, so it's a full 48. Okay.
This is where the count of watchers and eligible interested buyers changes and creates some confusion for sellers. Why do I see more watchers than interested buyers for the same item?
Yeah, that's what they say. And now I understand. So the buyers who previously received the seller's first seller-initiated offer won't see the second one, correct?
Correct.
Okay, now I get it. So to summarize, Gordon, a seller can send a first SIO to interested buyers. That seller cannot send a second SIO, or seller-initiated offer, until the first one expires in 48 hours, and there are new qualified interested buyers. And any difference in the number of watchers and the number of interested buyers is explained by this requirement. That is, an interested buyer who has already received your offer will not be able to receive a second offer for the same item. Thus, the number of watchers could be greater than the number of current interested buyers for that listing. Whew.
So that's correct, Griff. It can be a little confusing, but I hope this information helps explain why the number of watchers and the number of buyers eligible for an SIO or seller-initiated offer are often not the same number.
Yeah, and why sometimes the number of listings that you can send an SIO will change day to day.
Yes.
Okay, I hope that answers your question, Gordon. It seems to answer it for me, but if you still have any questions, please send in send them in via email. And if you're listening to this, remember to send us an email with your shipping address so we can send you one of our really cool eBay mugs. You just have to send your shipping address, because we've used your question, to podcast@ebay.com. Okay, our next question, Brian, is one regarding best offer again, but this seller has a different concern. And he writes, "My name is Shelby Kuhn, and my store name is Timber79. I listen to the eBay podcast all the time and enjoy the information provided." Well, Shelby, it's our pleasure. "I list my items and use MakeOffer on a majority of my listings, but I'm thinking about removing the option from my listings due to the number of buyers that will make an offer, and then I accept it, but they never pay. Recently, I received an offer for something for $32, which I have listed for $46. So I counter-offered at $38, and the buyer counted at $35, and the buyer has 100% feedback and all that. So I accepted the offer. And since it showed the buyer shipped to addresses Florida, I paused for some reason and then decided to look at his feedback. Glad I did, because this buyer has many feedback comments about not paying for items after the sellers have accepted the order. And I have to tell you, you shouldn't, as a seller, do that, but that's okay. This is very concerning to me, as I wonder why eBay does not restrict this type of buyer from purchasing it." He goes on, "Hope you use my email to explain more about the issue and help us sellers process through these types of buyers. And I hope I win an eBay podcast mug." Well, you do. You just have to send me your shipping address. "My eBay store, you can reach it through the URL www.timber79farms.com. And you can click on current items to learn a little bit more about my eBay store." Okay.
Thank you, Shelby, for your question and for your store promotion. Happy to oblige. eBay does restrict buyers who continually purchase and don't pay. This includes not paying for an accepted best offer.
Yeah, it's true. We don't really publish the criteria, but I know for a fact that buyers who do this continually do risk being sanctioned.
And we've been doing that for decades,
actually. Yeah, since the beginning of eBay, or close to the beginning. Shelby, there is a fix on the roadmap. It's a product fix, but with no definite release date. And we've alluded to it here on the podcast before. The fix would require payment as a condition for a buyer accepting a best offer. That is, the seller makes an offer and the buyer accepts it, or the seller accepts a buyer's offer, and then the payment is immediately and automatically deducted from the buyer's selected payment option. So that's on the horizon, but it's not here yet.
It is not here yet. So in the meantime, I think you'll be happy to learn that sellers can restrict buyers who have a history of not paying for purchases by using the buyer requirements feature. You can find it under selling preferences on your seller dashboard. The navigation path is eBay, My eBay, Account, Selling Preferences, and Blocked Buyer List. That takes you to the buyer management page, and we'll put a direct link to the buyer requirements or management page in the transcript for episode 148.
Yeah, and we'll put that link in case you want to just click it. And with buyer management, Shelby, one of the options is to block buyers who have not paid for previous items from any seller. This requirement can help you avoid buyers with a history of not paying for items they have agreed to purchase. You can set, as a seller, the parameters for this particular requirement. You can set the number of unpaid transactions this buyer may have had from 2 to 5, and you can select the time frame for those unpaid transactions if they occurred in the last 1, 6, or 12 months.
This buyer management feature for blocking buyers with a recent history of bidding or purchasing or agreeing to a best offer can prevent them from purchasing, bidding, or accepting offers from you.
Right. So it's an effective way for the seller to actually block any buyer who has had a recent history of that. And as we said, a better solution is in the work, but it's until it's launched, this buyer management, Shelby, is going to help you prevent any unpaid items and offers from buyers who have a recent history of not paying for either. It's not a guarantee that it won't happen. There could be a buyer with no history who then suddenly, for whatever reason, doesn't follow through on a best offer. But it should go a long way to preventing buyers who have engaged in this sort of not paying activity in the recent past from being able to bid, send, or accept offers. Now, Brian, our next question was phoned in, and I thank you for that. Let's listen.
Hi, my name is Jack Martin. My eBay ID is treasure.rescuers. And my question is, does eBay have a keyword search tool, such as what they use on Google AdSense, where you can search on eBay for popular keywords to help with buyers finding your product? Thanks for answering my question. I appreciate it. Love the show. Bye.
Well, thanks, Jack. And first, I'll give Jack a reminder to also send in a mailing address to get a eBay podcast mug.
Please do.
So the answer is that eBay doesn't have such a feature for searching keywords by popularity. However, there are ways to determine which keywords work best for your specific products. There's Terapeak.
Yeah, that's right. You can use Terapeak to research keywords, how effective they are, which resulted in a sale, which are the most widely used for the types of products you sell.
And to get to Terapeak, you get there through the research tab within Seller Hub.
Yeah, and it takes you, you're right there, and you can start your research on keywords there. There is also, and you probably have seen this, Jack, when you're listing an item, there are search numbers for item specifics. Specifically, when you're filling out the item specifics on any Create a Listing page, you can see the number of searches for each individual item specific. And although those aren't keywords, they're turning out to be as important, if not more important, than some of the keywords in your title when it comes to buyers who are looking for very specific products. And this can be very helpful information.
And there are a few third-party, so that's not eBay, so-called free eBay keyword search tools online.
Yeah, I've seen some of those, and we can't verify their value to sellers, but hey, they're free, so you can check those out. Just search on Google for eBay keyword search, and you'll find page after page of them.
So Jack, you can also try searching eBay on different keywords for specific products and see what other keywords the sellers of those listings are using.
That's a historic legacy activity on eBay, is if you want to know what's popular based on what you're currently listing or plan to list on eBay, search for other examples of it, and you can see what sellers are using not only for keywords, but a lot of listing practices to help get more sales, help get more buyers. And that's a never-ending learning process. I still do it to this day.
Strongly encourage sellers to do that. I mean, know your competition is effectively what, Griff, you're saying is, you know, see what the competition is doing and, hey, are they getting more sales than you with what they're doing compared to how you've got your item listed?
You know, I'm selling off my rather haphazardly assembled camera collection, and I have these little Argus brick cameras. They were very popular after the war right up until the 70s. They're no longer made. Very simple box rangefinder cameras. Well, there are different types, they're different serial numbers, and they make a big difference as to how valuable they are. I didn't know this, and the only way I found it out was going onto eBay and searching for Argus cameras and discovering that there's a C2 and a C3, and the C2 is made before the war and is more desirable than the C3, which was made after the war. So it was something that I learned from other sellers and their listings that helped me actually create a more effective listing for myself as opposed to coming off like I didn't know what I was talking about. So yeah, it never ends. It's like you said, it just never ends. Thank you again, Jack, for that call in. And I want to remind you and anyone who calls in or emails a question to us that we use, we're going to send you a mug. If we don't have your shipping address, just send it to podcast@ebay.com. And now that I'm back, I'll send out shipments every week. I've got a bunch to send out on Monday. It means I have to go into the office, by the way, but I don't mind because I go to the mailroom.
And when you run out, I've got a few more boxes at home.
Oh, you do?
Well, I think I've got a box and a half.
I still have a huge box in the garage, so I'm happy to give them away. Oh, and before we start our little outro, I have a correction to something I said in a previous episode. and I can't remember which one it was. It was one in May, I believe. But I said that the sell similar feature would not carry over data from the first listing, things like photos and item specifics, etc. And that, of course, is not true, and I should have known that. When a seller uses the sell similar option for one of their current or ended listings, all of the data in that listing carries over to the new listing, including photos and category, item specifics, description, everything carries over. I, in my dotage, was confusing sell similar with something called have one like it to sell. And you see that on any listing on eBay underneath the photos. Do you have one like this? Sell it. And that is different than sell similar. Sell similar is only available for a seller's own current or ended listings. Have one like it to sell is for any listing on the site. And have one like it to sell only carries over a listing's title and category. So please forgive me. I got it wrong. I promise it won't happen again. Yeah, that's a promise I'll break. My apologies for the mix-up. And I want to thank you all, listeners, who emailed in to alert me to my error. All 476 of you. Thanks.
I think they just wanted to email you, Greg.
Could be.
Or you're embellishing the number.
Yeah, there's always that passive-aggressive side of me. Could be. Maybe it was just two.
Well, our listeners do pay attention, so it doesn't surprise me that they caught that. And it's not too big of a... That wasn't too big of an issue.
But it is. The minute I saw the first email, I thought, uh-oh, they're right. What was I thinking? And I just... I don't know what happens.
I hope I wasn't co-host at that time, because then that means I missed it too.
I think you might have. Maybe it was Rebecca. No. I don't remember.
Well, then I apologize as well.
In advance?
Normally we catch each other on those kinds of things.
Yeah, it would have been a good catch. Maybe it wasn't you. It might have been Rebecca. Anyway, it's time to get out of the studio.
Do you have questions about running a business on eBay? Why not call us on 888-723-4630 and share it so we can take a stab at answering it correctly.
That's 888-723-4630. And the best part, as I say every week, is you can call the hotline any time of the day, any day of the week, leave a question or a comment and your shipping address, and we just might put it on the air. Not your shipping address, the question or the comment.
And if you don't like to call on your phone, then maybe you can email your question to us at podcast@ebay.com. That's podcast@ebay.com.
Although we much prefer to hear the dulcet tones of your voice on our voice line. Now it's time for the podcast to-do list. It has returned.
As it should have.
Yes. Number one.
Register for eBay Open. It's quick. It's easy. It's free. www.ebay.com/open, and it'll be a blast.
Yes. In case you forgot, number two, it's always the right time to purchase a thermal label printer.
We put lots of information in our transcripts. Check them out at www.ebay.com/podcast.
There it is, your podcast to-do list for the week. On our next episode, we'll have another seller conversation.
Oh, good. With who?
I'm not sure. I haven't decided yet.
You mean you haven't recorded it yet?
Yes, that too. But it'll be in the can. There'll be something, I guarantee it.
Good. Is it in a literal can? Or is that just a radio saying?
It's a radio saying. It's when, you know, you finish a tape, you know, it's actual physical tape, and you put it back in its little canister. It's in the can.
In the can. Got it.
Or I'm in the can. Either one.
Now it's actually in the cloud.
In the cloud, right. Or on the, it's on the SD card. It's in the SD card. That just doesn't have the same ring to it.
Yeah. That in the can sounds so much better.
In the can. It's in the can, guys.
In the can.
Where it belongs.
We'd like to again thank our guest this week, author and social media marketing expert, Marcia Collier.
The eBay for Business podcast is produced and distributed by Libsyn and Podcast 411.